Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Light Reading Podcast. My name is Phil Harvey. I'm an editor here at Light Reading.
I'm Kelsey Zeiser. I'm also an editor at Light Reading.
I'm Sterling Perrin. I'm not an editor at Light Reading. I'm an analyst at Heavy Reading.
Wait, what?
What? How did we do that?
What are you doing here?
Sterling, welcome to the podcast. Good to see
you
again. We thought we would get, since we're kind of nearing the end of the trade show season, I guess, the spring edition of the trade show season, getting into
see
May.
See you back in September.
We had so much activity around, Mobile World Congress, OFC. I just a couple weeks ago went to the data center show in Washington, D.C., but there's just been I think ConnectX is sometime soon. There's been a ton of industry gatherings where people are talking about kind of the bigger themes in the industry. So, of course, the takeover of AI, working its way into every part of the network as a tool, but also the implications of AI everywhere else. So inside the data center, outside the data center, or between data centers. And then, kind of what the vendors are doing and prepping for in response. And then as I'm thinking back over this sort of activity in the telecom space this year, and this is why we wanted to have you on, one of the most upbeat places on earth that I went to this year, and I think Kelsey would agree, was OFC. I haven't seen that show that happy in a long, long time. What was your general impression of the mood there and the vibe?
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit of a blast from the past. You've been going to that show a long time. I've been going in its different iterations, definitely almost, well, more than 20 years. But it kind of became a sleepy show and in a lot of ways back to its academic kind of roots for a while. And then sort of trying to hitch on to these trends that were coming out year after year, but not quite clicking, a bit of a stretch. But this year, yeah, without a doubt, this AI boom, which we talked about a little bit, within the data center itself has absolutely re-energized that show. Optics for within the data center is extremely relevant right now. So that was definitely the vibe at the show. A lot of money is being thrown around from venture capital companies and whoever is investors in general, and everybody's trying to catch on and latch on to that. So it was AI was everywhere at that show.
As somebody who covers the optical networking broadly, what are the implications of data centers becoming the data center build out, I guess, they're becoming more, I guess, critical in more places. So they're building out, one of the big takeaways from the show is how they're building out in tier 2 and tier 3 markets and wanting to interconnect them. They're also building out in terms of capacity within the data center, just cramming as much in there as they can, both with optics and with liquid cooling. What is that all going to look like outside the data center? And, if you're an optical networking provider, what kind of chaos are they prepping for?
Yeah, it's a weird dynamic. I didn't want to be negative in assessing the upbeat nature of OFC, but it was a different dynamic. And the inside the data center thing, it did kind of suck up all the oxygen in the room. So the things that you're pointing to, Phil, have been things that we've been looking at in evolution. It's around edge, really, what you're describing. In my view, we had these centralized data centers, and then there was a realization with 5G coming out and 5G advanced, and if anybody says 6G, 6G, and all of the applications and compute need to move to the edge. And so there was a recognition that the data centers need to move closer and closer to the users out of the big tier one cities to tier two and tier three. My sense at the show is at OFC anyway, is that a lot of that just got buried in all of this stuff around, you know, the large language model, AI, these transformer models, the chat GPT stuff is so concentrated within the data center that to me, it was the dynamic kind of throwing everything else out the window and how do we build for, you know, connectivity that's measured in meters and even in some cases, you know, whatever metric centimeters, a lot of focus on that. And how to find enough power within a city to do all this processing that's going to have to happen for this very concentrated large data center. So I actually was looking for and actually missed out on that whole edge evolution trend at OFC. Other shows, you know, there's other data center shows. I think you went to one of them. There's other ones that I missed because I had other travel, but maybe that stuff is gone. But the hyperscalers are they're hyper focused on just this, you know, how to solve this GPU problem in the data center. It was a weird dynamic to me.
Yeah, the CEO of Lumentum, Alan Lowe, expressed it to me in a way that was like, he said that in so many words, in the past, optical networking was kind of this thing that transmitted, you know, data between points. And now in the future, it's going to be kind of part of the computer. You know, it's going to be part of the machinery that does the work and also transmits it. So it's like, you know, an expansion as far as the importance of optical components. And in his mind, that's, you know, the more, the faster that happens, the better, because it just means that they're, you know, demand for their for especially for pluggables and for things like that are going to continue on.
Yeah, if you look at the data center, the way the amount of capacity, and I think Jensen Huang at that GTC conference that was just before OFC had made a comment in his keynote about the amount of capacity being generated in something. I don't know if it was in the single data center or even less, but was the amount of traffic, more than the amount of traffic of the entire internet, all within this, you know, very confined space. So the data center is almost becoming, or is becoming, like, you know, you can take a telecom network and you know, shrink it down to the space of a data center, but all of that type of connectivity needs to happen, but within very, you know, shorter, much shorter distances. So optics is all over that, but it's a different kind of optics for the pluggables, which is, you know, where you get into the linear pluggable and the co-packaged and all that stuff. But even some of the things that I was hearing about were like, you know, 20 years ago, we talked about optical switching circuit, optical circuit switching, photonic switches that were going to be all through the telecom network. And that really didn't happen. But there is a place for that kind of technology within the data center now. So some of these old technologies, even someone was talking to me about, I think it was these planar lightwave circuits, like stuff that we used to cover a lot that just became, either went away or just became kind of, I don't know, commodity, is all becoming very relevant within the data center. And so Lumentum and other companies, Infinera as well, is seeing opportunities to take technology they have and stick it in the data center.
Yeah, it seems like there was some metro market stuff that never took off for expenses, you know, maybe it was too expensive and for other reasons. And yeah, you're right. Now it's you know, in these like mile long cavernous data centers, it's not only it makes a ton of sense because the high capacity, you know, kind of low power nature of that stuff is perfect for those environments, whereas it maybe wasn't the most cost effective thing in terms of connecting to small cities or something like that.
That's exactly it. The amount of capacity and the low power is an opportunity for optics. And so it's you know, there's new, the linear pluggable optics stuff that trend is taking the, they're taking the DSP, the electronics out of the pluggable. And so then it becomes pure optics. And so it reduces power and all that stuff. The thing for me,
is that where they're bringing in the LPO conversation?
Yeah, it's all very, very data center focused. That stuff will never be, I don't know, somebody can throw rocks at me after this ends, but any of that stuff doesn't seem like it's ever going to leave the data center. It's all very focused on that particular, and it's as you saw too, Kelsey, it's all very debatable. There's a lot of debate on it, but it's all solving this data center problem. And it's funny, like NVIDIA and the GPU guys are all about, you know, if you take a power in a data center and that power is whatever, you know, the total electricity they have is X, you know, they want not whatever, they want all of that dedicated to serving their GPUs, because that's number one. And then they say, well, this is what's left after we power our GPUs, and you know, the rest of the network can have it. So it's the GPU is running the show right now. It's not like anybody's saying, well, why don't you, you know, do this GPU a little different. No, it's
right.
You figure out this is what's left. Go sort it out. So that's where things haven't been solved yet. And that's why there is a lot of debate, and it's beyond me. As you know, I don't cover the data center directly. I cover optics, which is, you know, showing up there, but which thing is going to win, whether it's co-packaged or linear or pluggable or any of that stuff, I couldn't even make a guess at. But I don't think anybody really, really knows right now. The things I sat in, there was a lot of, you know, the best minds of the industry. You get two of them on stage and they're saying two different things. So it's it's a lot of unknowns, but it's all based on that right now, that power. Even to a degree separate from the data center, one R&D exec that I talked to at an optical company said a quote that I'll remember and probably use in reports. The power, he said, it used to be all towards Shannon. He said power is what's keeping him up at night these days, not Shannon. So it's, and that's for, you know, the entire industry. But yeah, it's, things are moving towards power.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing from Lumentum, and I heard it in Infinera too, where they were saying that there are going to be buying decisions made more on power than price in the next few months.
Oh, and yeah. Yeah. So you've got three.
We're mostly referring to ZR pluggables and things that are kind of, you know, still to come, things that are maybe, you know, finding their way into the thing. But I think that was kind of the early warning that we might not have the fastest module on Earth, but we might be able to, it might use the perfect amount of power that a service provider needs, you know, in a particular application.
Yeah. One other interesting thing that I did some digging after the show and just looking at CapEx, it was actually somewhat shocking to me. Maybe it shouldn't be, but if you look at service provider CapEx, like all service provider, you know, hyperscalers, everybody, telco, even the data center guys, everything all rolled in. If you go back just to 2010, 2011, 90% of that CapEx was telco. And then everybody else was, you know, the remaining 10% or so, including the hyperscalers. If you look at like this year and last year and the year before, it's telco shrunk to like 60%, and the hyperscalers are pretty much around a third of that spend right now. So they've gone to pretty inconsequential to a major player, not dominant yet. And then if you forecast it out, if you look at Omdia's numbers in the next 5 years, it starts to approach parity. Yeah. These hyperscalers are going to be, and they're growing, of course, huge, whereas telco is not and shrinking at the moment. So, you know, if you take any of these suppliers, Ciena, Infinera, Lumentum, the Coherent, or any of the
Cisco, yeah.
You know, you're looking at size and growth, and you're saying, you know, I'm a public company for the vast majority, and I got to show growth. Where am I going to put my dollars? And I think it's going to drive, and it already is driving these decisions to focus on these hyperscaler requirements. For me, I look at, well, how much for a while the requirements were pretty much in sync, like hyperscaler benefited telco, but I don't know going forward if that's going to be so much the case. I'm seeing it as a pretty big divergence in needs. You know, some of the stuff you just mentioned, Phil, on power. Power is important for everybody, but it's a different level, and price is always going to be important for telco. Always.
Yeah.
The hyperscalers, you know, don't care. It's a blip. It's the connectivity is not their business. So it becomes, you know, again, that weird dynamic that I was sensing. I don't know how that's going to play out, but the incentive for anyone who's an optical supplier is definitely going to chase the hyperscalers. And I don't know, you'd have to be a pretty strong fortitude, I guess, as management to say, we're going to hold off on this investment and just, you know, keep with whoever are. I mean, some of these companies had telco customers for 50-100 years. So
yeah,
it's the dynamics are changing a lot.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think that's the well said, because I think that's the big unknowns in the industry are, you know, to what degree is the service provider group going to be kind of, are their voices going to be kind of marginalized in optics development? You know,
yeah,
they're going to be reduced to basically, picking up what the hyperscalers have bought in volume, you know, so they'll drive up the volume, and now the price will be down low enough that service providers will kind of jump on that.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at like 400ZR was a good example, hyperscalers pioneered it. Yep. Telcos couldn't use it, but ZR Plus, yeah, where there's a lot can be done there. And that's kind of slowly chugging along, to a large degree, minimized at OFC, I think, but still progressing. And then you get to 800 gig ZR, well, maybe ZR Plus, sure, and telco, but this other stuff,
yeah,
none. There's not much piggybacking, I don't think, is going to happen on what we're seeing right now.
Well, I want to pick your brain on the ZR discussion in a second. Kelsey, were you wanting to ask about something, or did you have a question lined up?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the OIF demo, but we can continue on the ZR if you want to.
Yeah, actually, let's kind of continue. Well, I mean, they probably are kind of merged together, but the thing I was going to bring up with ZR was just that I found it remarkable that I think for the first time in my memory, and again, I don't remember what I did last week, so
you had a sandwich.
Right. That's a good guess. Is that, you know, we know that 400ZR is still ramping and the variants thereof are still ramping, but it seemed like 800ZR and 1600, or the 1.6 terabits per second point, it seems like that's ramping, like they're just building that out at exactly the same time. Mm-hmm. I've never seen that before, where a generation of optics are basically running in parallel.
Yeah.
You know, completely from development. I was just going to run that by you and say, did I mishear that, or is that what's really kind of happening out there?
I mean, yeah. I mean, the 800 gig stuff will come out this year, and the 1.60 is not ready yet. But I think, you know, you're right. And again, not to bang on the hyperscaler issue so much, but I mean, it really is what's driving everything. They can't get enough capacity fast enough. So some of them, you know, the OIF is driven a lot right these days really by hyperscalers. So when they're putting out a new workflow for 1.6T, it's because somebody's asking for it, and it's a hyperscaler. So the 800ZR was also hyperscaler driven, but now they want even more, or at least some of them. I mean, they're not all one, you know, one entity. They have different. So all of that, yeah. And then somebody's going to want 3.2. So that is what's happening there. That is data center interconnect, but it is certainly 1.6T is hyperscaler. Even the vast majority, we think on 800 gig when that's adopted is going to be hyperscaler data center interconnect as well.
Yeah, because it just doesn't have the distance to really matter outside. The cost profile and the distance are not there yet in terms of doing anything outside of the data center, or doing much, I should say. Right?
Well, yeah. And just honestly, the capacity requirements of a telco, I mean, people again can contact me and tell me different, but the capacity needs of telco are not there. I've asked several big operators over the past couple months about what data rate they want, and they say, you know, for pluggable optics, we're focused on the 400 gig ZR plus. It takes them forever to get this stuff in their network. You know, they can't spend 3 years developing and testing and then just toss it out the window and move to 800 because it came out. Yeah. But the traffic growth isn't as much as either. So,
yeah, it's true. It's not it's still high, but not not in the way that they were dealing with, you know, a few years ago. So talking about the OIF demo, and by the way, if I very rarely recommend sponsored content, but this was sponsored. We have a sponsored video that Juniper arranged, funded, I guess, where Carl Gass from the OIF and Sterling walk through the OIF demo. You should definitely check that out, because for no other reason than to see Carl's suits, but also,
I knew you were gonna
but also to see Sterling suits, but also to see, you know, to kind of get a quick, like lightning fast overview of what, you know, of what happened at the demo. But that also was a noticeable, kind of, for me, a demarcation point in terms of that it had hyperscaler fingerprints all over it. In fact, I think the use cases were basically just handed to them by, maybe it was Meta that Carl didn't say, he's pretty protective, but you know, there was clearly a need in their network to show that 800 gig ZR was working was interoperating, was available, you know, over certain distances. And so that stood out to me, was that not exactly what they were demoing, which was impressive, but the fact that it was like a real use case in a real network that was really going to be deployed like within months, you know, like straight away, like leaving the show floor and onto deployment. And those things used to be science projects in my mind. Like, this was like the cool, like, oh, cool, they demoed it, neat, you know, well, we'll hear about this in a couple of years, you know, and this is, it seems like everything has sped up, you know, from that point of view.
Yeah, no, there is immediate need, but they did, and it's impossible to compete with Carl on wardrobe. So I just go as bland as possible. but that the gold suit actually threw me. I was not expecting.
Yeah, see, I was going back and forth between my black t-shirt and my navy t-shirt. You know, those are my, like, you know, which one feels too weighty for the day. And he had like a rainbow suit, a gold suit. You know, after you go rainbow, it's pretty hard to just go like.
Yeah, it's on the rainbow one. Next, yeah, it's like, how do you follow that?
I don't know. He's sentient.
Just the full black suit, just to throw people off. Just.
Yeah, yeah. People wouldn't even recognize him.
We're starting over.
Oh yeah, but I did have a point.
if you must,
don't make it. They did demonstrate, which I found interesting, the 400 gig ZR plus, which was not an OIF developed spec, and it was kind of, you know, it was out there, it was semi-open, but it didn't have a kind of an interop home. So OIF has taken that in. So I was impressed and happy that that's happened. And they also had Open ROTEM demoed as well. So if you're kind of looking at that, the spectrum of things that they showed, 400 ZR, hyperscaler, 400G ZR plus, telco, 800 ZR, hyperscaler, as you indicated, and then Open ROTEM, you know, telco. So it was good to show the, you know, pluggables. There's a lot of different variants and they do have different buyers. So, I thought that was good that they, of course, the 800 ZR is the more buzz, but the other stuff, it's important, particularly for telecom to work.
Yeah.
In routers.
On the DSP side, one of the things I took away was that there aren't that many companies making those. And after a certain, you know, up to a certain threshold, yeah. I guess. And so I was one of the interoperability demos was basically just all the vendors using some variant of a Marvell chipset, I think.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that is interoperability in terms of how they implemented it, but it was kind of weird that back to a point, it's kind of like putting together a bunch of Intel, you know, Windows PCs and going, look, they all work together. What would you expect? You know, maybe I'm being a bit flip about that, but I think it wasn't, and again, that's not the OIF's fault. They were sourcing what was, you know, available in the network, or, you know, in the networking community. But I wonder if that's, like most things that the OIF shows off, I wonder if that's actually a peek into the future, is that there are going to be product cycles where there's simply no supplier diversity because of the cutting edge requirements, you know, the speed requirements and the volumes necessary to meet. It just, on its face, eliminates a ton of vendors straight away.
At the high end, in particular, it becomes very difficult to go after that business. It's not just the DSP anymore. It's the connection. They call it an engine. It's the DSP connected with the optical front end, which is very much now into photonically integrated circuits, and the very tight linking of those. Companies are finding that it's becoming even very difficult, if not impossible, to take a DSP and then take a front end from somebody else and make it work in a module. So you've seen companies buy, you know, all of the major ones really buy all of that in-house, and then to do another spin of a DSP and the amount of time and cost, and you now have to own the entire, you know, vertical integration. You have to own all of the pieces to build that module. It does limit vastly who's able to, you know, to invest in that. So yeah, it's a little bit like, you know, with open networks, we cover in disaggregated systems, and you know, the benefit is always in disag. It's you're able to have multiple suppliers because it's white box, and then you know, look at who the chip, and it's always Broadcom. It's always like down to one vendor, and the chip guy tends to be the limiting factor. So I guess optics isn't quite there yet, but it is very, very difficult to compete in that kind of game, especially at the high end.
Yeah. I mean, I bring that up too, because it's like, you know, in the US, that's going to be a thing. Maybe not so much on the data center side, but definitely on the connectivity side in terms of building out middle mile infrastructure and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Where those parts come from will matter depending on, you know, if they're applying for BEAD funding or what have you. So, it's any place where I see like a choke point in suppliers or interoperability, I feel compelled to call it out these days, because A, the number of suppliers at certain thresholds is going away, and then you know, for the reasons you spoke of, mostly the vertical integration needs,
but
also, you know, where does that put you know, the US in terms of competitiveness and funding and stuff like that? It kind of puts pressure back on just one or two companies to kind of do
everything. I mean, I guess the good news from a political standpoint is most of the chip companies are US companies, or many of them, so it's a strength that US has. Mm-hmm. As opposed to manufacturing, which is all now being brought back to the country for these government initiatives. But the chip is definitely a choke point in optics for sure.
Any last remaining observations? We're coming up on the half hour mark. I didn't want to take up your entire day.
I enjoyed it. No, this has been great. Good to trade thoughts.
Yeah, it's good to settle, you know, to let the you know, you go to so many shows in such a tight window, and then I don't know if you're like me, you're looking at your notes a little bit later, and you're like, did I get this at this show or this show? You know, it's like it all kind of runs together, or you're having conversations with two different vendors in two different geographies, and you're kind of picking up, you know. You know, almost a continuity. But yeah, I thought it would be a good time to just sort of decompress and make sure that, you know, kind of we knew what was going on in the optical networking space, and kind of looking ahead to the rest of this year, you know, what to expect. I guess things to expect would just be, well, like you'd mentioned earlier, the 800ZR stuff is going to start showing up in the market. I guess people
want
to launch trials and getting closer to commercial deployment. And then of course, I guess the other, I don't really know of anything else. I do see a couple of, most of the deployments that I see announced for sort of mid-haul to long-haul stuff in the U.S. now is coming on the back of companies building out or connecting fiber networks that are related to BEAD funding initiatives and stuff like that.
So yeah, 100%. Exactly zero conversations at OFC about that, but it is a major topic. The cable next gen event, the light reading event that I moderated some sessions, that was a huge topic.
Yeah.
Network X Americas, which is coming up in May.
Right.
I have sessions on that that I'm chairing. So yeah, a major, major topic for the US is that type of fiber connectivity. I don't want to minimize that at all. It just wasn't the part of the OFC junket this year, but they need to solve, you know, what I look at is that middle mile problem needs to be resolved, and it's a fiber problem. It's, you know, literally trenching and building out these fibers. It's taking different service providers in different geographies and connecting them together to make one long link to connect the access network to the internet. So there's a lot going on there this year, and for sure.
There you go, folks, coming to a podium near you and coming to Network X Americas in Dallas, or actually Irving, in the
Texas.
middle of May. Go look for Sterling Perrin. Sterling, thanks for giving us a bit of your time today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Always great catching up.